So we had the incredible Schus today to learn Daf Tes Zayin. So just a quick review of the Daf. So first of all, we established a couple of important points. Number one, we established that Halacha Lamaisa, there of course is an ongoing machlokes in Beishamai and Beisela regarding Tsaras Habas, the co-wife or co-wife of an Erva in general, about her Yibum obligation. Beis Hillel saying she is exempt, and Beishamai saying she is obligated. The Gemara on the top of Tazayin establishes that not only did Beishamai pask in this way, but Beis Shammai actually acted this way as well, and held that Halacha Lamaisa Tsaras Habas is, or Tsaras Erva, is Chayebes in Yibum / Chalitza. We then got into the incredible story of Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus, and how the three Rabbanim, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva, went to confront him regarding what they thought was his position in support of Beis Shammai. It turns out that after further clarification, it was not Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus, but rather his brother, Yonasan ben Horkanus, who was the outspoken supporter of Beis Shammai. We learned a variety of different lessons from this episode. Number one, the ability to resolve conflict through direct engagement. Sometimes we hear what people say, or we assume we understand what people say, but no better way to avoid machlokes than direct consultation, than direct discussion, than direct engagement. We saw again the incredible humility of Rabbi Akiva, that when confronted by Yonasan, said, not only am I not a cattle herder, I'm not even a sheep herder. No matter how great you become in life, always try to maintain a proper sense of humility. Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus then went on to say, he gave Eidos, Sha'al Meducha Zu, on this particular grinding stone, Chagai sat and Chagai said three things. Number one, Tzara Sabas Asura, the Tzara of an Erva, ultimately is Asra and Yibum. Number two, that we go ahead, Ma'asun Ma'isra Ani Bishvias, that we go ahead in the lands of Ammon and Moab, were not consecrated again during Oli Babel. Remember again, the Gemara explained that Halacha Lamaisa, when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael under Yoshua, they consecrated, or Moshe and then Yoshua, they consecrated certain lands. There were many of those lands that were not reconsecrated with the leadership of Ezra when they came back to build the second Beis HaMikdash. Chazal actually legislated, interestingly enough, that they not reconsecrate the lands of Ammon and Moab, and they did this for the benefit of the poor. The benefit of the poor, because this way, again, remember, during a Shemitah year, all land is Hefker. Because it's Hefker, obviously there's no Meiser on it, there's no tithe for the poor, there's no Leket, Shechecha, and Peah. As such, the poor are kind of relegated to the same exact status of everyone else. So they get no preferential, charitable treatment. So the Chachamim were gozer that when the second wave of Aliyah came under Ezra, that they should not go ahead and reconsecrate those lands, because by not reconsecrating those lands, the rabbis established that although there is a tithing obligation, midrabbanan, on a rabbinic level, ultimately, they will not be subject to Kedusha Shvi'is, to Shemitah. So because of that, the lands of Ammon and Moab provide Leket, Shechecha, and Peah, Maiser Ani, to be able to support the poor during the Shemitah year. And the last thing that Chagai the Navi said was, to quote over here, "Umekablin gevre min hakarduyin umin hatarmudim." So the Gemara then goes that we accept converts, led again from the karduyin and from the tarmudim. So this then led to an entire machlokes about whether or not the genealogical fitness of the individuals of the Kardumim and the Tarmudim. So there's a little bit of a machlokas, exactly what's the name of the place, but what's the issue? The issue at hand, the Gemara gives two possibilities to the issue. Possibility number one was Avdei Shlomo, that the idea Shlomo HaMelech had many rich servants, and his rich servants utilized their wealth to be able to marry Jewish women. And this reflects the opinion that Eved Haba Bas Yisrael, if a slave fathers a child with a Jewish woman, that slave, that child, that offspring is considered to be a mamzer. So apparently, again, it was Tarmud, the Tarmudim, and the Karduyim, where the offspring of these unions settled, and therefore they had the status of Mamzerim. The second opinion said that this wasn't the result of Avdei Shlomo, but rather, again, it was a result of the armies which invaded Yerushalayim. That as, again, the armies were setting their sights on the gold and the silver and the Mikdash, the soldiers, again, 12,000 soldiers, 18,000 soldiers, but some massed number of soldiers did not set their eyes on the money, but rather they set their eyes on the women, violating the women, and ultimately, again, producing a large number of mamzerim. Now Rashi actually points out afterwards that halacha lemaisa, it seems to be that these individuals married these women. And again, Rashi says over here, Rashi says that halacha lemaisa, they married them, they violated, Rashi says, kishebo ovde kochavim unesom. So the, you know, the lashon of the Gemara seems to indicate that they violated them. But then it also sounds like they married them as well. And once again, this is reflective of the idea that halacha lemaisa, when a non-Jew fathers a child with a Jewish woman, that the child is a mamzer. Now, halacha lemaisa, we don't paskin that way, but clearly the opinion of the Gemara does hold that way, which is why the residents of the Talmudim and the Karduyim, you can't go ahead. Or I should say, Chagai said you can go ahead and be Makabal Gerim from them because they're not Mamzerim, they're legitimate non-Jews, but we seem to see some level of machlokes regarding their genealogical fitness. Wonderful. Alright, we also had a couple of additional drushas during the Psukim. From the Psukim, I should say, Nar Hayisi Gam Zakanti Velo Raisi Tzadik Nezov. So the Pashat Pshat, the simple Pshat, is David HaMelech talking about his life experiences. I have encountered much turmoil. Naraisi Gamzakanti, from my youth until my old age, it was a constant uphill battle. But I've always seen that Hashem always protects those and provides for those who establish a close relationship to Him. Second interpretation, we explain Nar Haisi Gamzakanti. You know, we start out life as a Nar. We start out life filled with hope, aspiration, goals, and dreams. Gamzakanti, then we become old. But Valora Isi Tzadik Nezav, if we maintain our connection, fidelity, and allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's that relationship which girds us and bolsters us with an incredible sense of emunah, which allows us to continue to dream, to hope, and to aspire to be more. All right, we'll stop over here for today. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.